I don't know, you tell me. I don't know what I said last year. So if you say anything different, let me know. Okay. Okay, so we're going to try to accomplish the impossible. We're going to try to encapsulate all of the Shabbos in the next hour and 10 minutes or so. I'm going to try only to those parts that are going to be most relevant on the mics in terms of dealing with children. So obviously the course of things we have to talk a little bit, some ABCs about some basic Shabbos for Shabbos, but again, the focus of all is going to be gearing towards children. So the first thing we have to do when we have a child is we have to make sure the child is what to eat. That's a pretty major component of a child's existence. For the most part, that's probably the most important part of a child's existence for the first year or so. So what child has come our way in terms of a Shabbos, particularly in terms of food? So let's begin to discuss a few of the malachas that relate to food, particularly that relate to children. So one of the issues that comes up in terms of children is the malacha of tochein. So the malacha of tochein, our initial reaction would be, what does that do with a child? Tochein means grinding grain. But Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, at least the way we accept in Shulchan Aruch, that you take a fruit or a vegetable and you cut it up into little pieces, no grinding, no grain, nothing. You take a fruit or vegetable, cut it into little pieces. That's not the problem of tochein. And maybe a shad even of tochein deraisa. You know, two to be told, not all the Rishonim read the Gemara that way, but in Shulchan Aruch, that's where we popped in. And you know, it's called the Kot of Siyah of Nachtak. If you cut it into a vegetable or other things, small pieces, that's tochein deraisa. This, of course, is going to pose a problem. Very often, you feed a child, obviously, rightfully so, you don't want to give a child a big piece of food. So how do you go about cutting up the food for a child not to violate a problem of tochein? So the lashon that the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim is a chotek seir dak dak. Can you cut something into very, very small pieces, which leads us to believe that the pieces are not so small, then there's no violation at all. So that's what the safety array says. The only problem is that safety array points out that we have absolutely no way of knowing what the shear is. How do you know whether you've reached the point of dak dak or just dak alone? So therefore, the safety array, and the lady post can quote, that we have to err on the side of caution. So we don't want to cut pieces too small that enter even into the realm of possibility of dak dak. So where does this place us? This is the whole problem. So there is a Rashba. The Rashba holds a Chiddush Gadol of Tochein. The Rashba writes that the malach of Tochein, in terms of Chodesh Ziyar, doesn't apply Semach L'Seuda. Doesn't apply right before the meal. Why doesn't it apply right before the meal? The Rashba extrapolates from the malach of Beirer. The malach of Beirer, at least under certain circumstances, doesn't apply Semach L'Seuda. But that's not an absolute statement. That's only true in the context of other things. My famous Gemara is Sefer Shabbos of Hanadal, where it talks about the different clubs, different principles that are necessary to be mafdir bayir. But one of the principles that's included in the heter bayir is samach l'seuda. So samach l'seuda is met together with another criteria, then bayir becomes mutter. Why does bayir become mutter? The hocus pocus bayir becomes mutter. So the Rishonim explained because it's basically labeled as derech hakima. The Torah never asked you from eating your food in Shabbos. So now I prepare certain things in Shabbos. So there's no malach involved in eating. So at what point do you say something is eating? Eating is not just the food in your mouth itself. Anything that's directly involved in the eating process is called derech achila. So if you do things, samach l'seuda, you do it in a certain context, so that's labeled no longer derech malacha, it's labeled as derech achila. So the Rashba extrapolated and said, the same is true when it comes to malacha tochein. If you do certain things right before the meal, that wouldn't qualify as an iser of tochein. Now, again, right before the meal, the Moshe writes in the tshuva concerning Barim, it's equally true concerning this Rashba. Right before the meal, it's not a question of time, it's not a question of a few minutes. It's a question of, is this the thing that's generally done right before the meal? Let's say, for example, a person finishes davening. They finish davening at 10:30, and the woman will take a long walk, and then go say a shiur or whatever. So they want to, the wife wants to prepare all the food right now. She wants to do all the bread, all the tochein at 10:30, and we eat the meal at 12 o'clock. So we assume that's not called samach l'seuda. They have to first take the walk, and first get the shiur, and then come home, and you're getting the final touches, getting ready to get sit down and eat. That's considered to be samach l'seuda. That's called derech achila. So should we accept this Rashba or not? If we accept this Rashba, this would be a really, really big help in terms of preparing food for kids. So basically just make sure, just cut up the carrots, cut up something right before the meal, and you call it a day. That should be at the goal. So some Rishonim disagree with the Rashba. Some Rishonim said that the Rashba's extrapolation is not correct. But just because Chazal teaches this school of derech achila and bayir doesn't mean it carries over to tochein. I forget, there's some halachas that clearly doesn't carry over. Nobody would say bishul, I don't call it bishul, some halachas is okay. You're allowed to cook food as long as you cook them right for them. That's ridiculous. So certain halachas lend themselves to derech achila and certain don't. So the Rashba thought that tochein was one of them, and it's other Rishonim said it's not true. So do we accept this Rashba? No, I accept this Rashba. So depends, yes. So there are more quotes to Rashba, la halacha. And the Rosh Hashulchan says he thinks that's the Ikrizik, but we really follow the Rosh. So the Mishabura is not as convinced as others were that we should follow the Rosh. He's concerned the deference of the other Rishonim. The Mishabura quotes a little bit of a pshat, a little bit of a compromise. The Mishabura says that if you cut a piece of fruits and vegetables very, 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 very tiny, which is for sure within the category of dak dak, then you shouldn't just rely on the Rosh, but just outright. But what you can do, says the Mishabura, is that if any way you're cutting them a little bit bigger than usual, again, we don't know where the cutoff point is. We don't know where the line of demarcation is. The rabbi himself didn't know. So anyway, you're into that gray category that it may be not a problem anyway. So if it's you, if that's a stakes factor, if it's you, if that, you can rely on the Rosh. So says Mishnah Berurah, when you cut your vegetables, fruits and vegetables, you should be careful to cut them in such a way that they're not mamish tiny tiny. They're a little bit bigger than they are really like. And but see if the Rosh, when you do it, everything's going to be okay. So again, those who follow the Ramah, the Rav Hashulchan just outright and say, you have to be machmer on that. Anything tzedek l'suda is mutter, all cutting for kids, everything is tzedek l'suda, everything is hunky dory. And if you want to be chayshish from the Shabura, then you would recommend, obviously you don't want the child to choke on the piece, but you make it a drop bigger than you would otherwise like, and that would be okay, even according to Mishnah Berurah, b'tzir of the shittas harashba. So l'chora, this sounds like it's not chumas and kubas, but you have to be careful about this, but you have a certain kubas to rely on. So b'medem ha'mavurim, this whole discussion applies, it only applies to gedulei karka, it only applies to fruits and vegetables. Whether you have a piece of chicken or something, so the truth of Deshi writes that he doesn't think that the malach of teichin, at least this context of teichin, would apply to non-gedulei karka. So that's why the pasuk of Amekel, if you want to cut a piece of chicken for a kid, then you can cut it into mamash with a tiny, tiny slivers. On a cut of a piece of meat or something, a piece of fish or something, those are things that are not going to be karka for our purposes, and then you don't have to be chashim at any of the above. The Shulchan Aruch quotes with Rishayim that you shouldn't use what's called a kli miyuchad l'kach. You shouldn't use a grinder. You shouldn't use something that's usually used during the week. That's it. The rabbis will do the chol. It's a purely technical problem. But it's a problem, but it's not a teichin problem. In terms of pure teichin, so as long as it's either nine to the karka, it's mutter l'gamrei, or it's mutter l'karka, then it's mutter b'tzamach l'suda, combined with a little bit of a bigger pieces. So it's with this background that the poskim, the more contemporary poskim, discuss the question of mashing fruits and vegetables.
Rabbi's point just now about not using a grinder, is that grinder specifically, or that's anything that, any way that you would use during the week?
Anything that's called a klim yuchel kach. Maybe it's normally identified with a grinder. You should use a fork or something. A fork is not a normal.
Okay, so I'm saying a fork would already not fall.
That's okay, a fork. So the post can discuss the shalot of mashing bananas. Very, very common shalot. For a child, you're allowed to mash a banana for a child and shalot. So the Chazanish starts the discussion by assuming that mashing a banana is a potential problem of teichin. So it's a potential problem of teichin, so we should start to discuss it, to analyze the rash, etc., so through the whole story. So the Chazanish had a very, very negative view towards mashing bananas and shalot. The Chazanish says that he thinks it's a problem of teichin, and he doesn't think that we should apply the rash for here. Why? For multiple reasons. First of all, the Chazanish says he's not so convinced we should follow the Rosh Mokhi. This wasn't the biggest proponent of the Rosh in general in this particular sugya. And then the Chazanish says he doesn't think even the Rosh himself would be mafia. Why is this worse than the Rosh's case? The Chazanish is a Chiddush Gadol. The Chazanish writes that B'medem Ha'mavurim, that Rosh was mafia, that's only for things that are not objectively taken. Let's say cutting a fruit, cutting a vegetable. It's not objectively taken. It's like teichin, it's a total teichin, it's a semus teichin, on a teraistic level, it's like teichin, but it's not the real mekoyev of teichin. A shehenkin, if you would have a real teichin, let's say you have grinding grain. Would anybody say, says the chazan, anybody dream that the rash would be mocked to the grinding grain as long as you can use it right away? It's ridiculous. It says the chazanish that the svar of some of the suza means, when you have something that's unclear, whether it's derech china or derech achila, so doing it some of the suza will tilt the balance. If it's something which is objectively derech melacha, so then all the tzemach l'suda from maybe tomorrow is not going to do the trick. So the Chazanish says he thinks that mashing bananas is such a derech teichin, it's such an unbelievable that it's mashing in the chav teichin. What do we say? You take in a masher, you're smashing, that's teichin. If you take a knife and you start to cut your cucumber and tomatoes into little pieces, you can argue, yeah, teichin, nish teichin. So then tzemach l'suda plays a role. But when you take something and you start to mash it, so the rasek, the banana, that's the ultimate teichin. And even the Rashba, when the Chazanish thinks we should be the Pasuk anyway, even the Rashba with Mekel would be Chayshishu. So the Chazanish was the biggest bit of this machber against Meshi bananas. Then the Chazanish turns around and says, so how are you going to keep sitting there waiting for banana? What are you going to do? So the Chazanish says, you should do it to the achiyad. If you do it with the back of a spoon or something, you do it with the back of a knife, you do it in a achiyad in a strange way, So then it becomes at the gemur, and that's what the chazanish is meyer ba. That's what you should do. So Rav Moshe commented on this chazanish and disagreed with every single nekuda of the chazanish. Rav Moshe said that he thinks that the very premise of the chazanish is not correct. So he thinks that this is not teichin altogether. He said that this is teichin. Teichin means when you take a big item and you cut it up into little pieces. That's teichin. Here, you took a big banana and you mashed it into a big banana. It used to be a big banana spread out this way. Now it's a big bush of banana, for lack of a better lack of terminology, sitting on your table. It's one end, it's one unit. You weren't mashed it from one unit to multiple small units. You just spread it out over the space of your plate. So says Rav Moshe, what does that do with the Lachas Teichin? It's the whole not intended to us a Teichin altogether. So Rav Moshe said he thinks that it's at the Gomer to mash bananas on Shabbos, the Chachila. There's nothing wrong with it. But then the Rav Moshe backs out. But then Rav Moshe says, even though I think that in Svar, there's no Issa, there's no Teichin Bechlau, if the Hilge Chazanish said you shouldn't do it, so you're Chayshish for Chazanish. But then Rav Moshe says, you want to be Chayshish for Chazanish, so the Chazanish had a Kula. Cool the Chazanish was, if you do Kula Achiyad, it's Mutra. So Rav Moshe says, I don't understand that Kula either. He says that the Chazanish is really convinced that it's Osir, so why in the world should doing it Kula Achiyad make it Mutra? Kula Achiyad makes it to be the Rabban, it doesn't make it to be Mutra. So Rav Moshe says, Mamarashach, if you think that it's Mutra like me, so it's Mutra in a normal way. If you really believe that it's Osir, then it's Osir even in that normal way. So the Rav Moshe says, I don't understand the Chumra of the Chazanish, I don't understand the Kula of the Chazanish. So Rav Moshe says, I'll be the Chazanish halfway between Lori Sad and Rebach, maybe halfway. Says that I don't think the chumrah is right, but I'll be chayshish for the chumrah. I don't think the kula is right, but I'm not going to be more mach with the chaznish himself. So at the end of the day, Moshe writes, if you want to mesh bananas, look at the chaznish, mesh the kaliyaka. Even though Moshe writes in the chum, he doesn't believe all of it. So he says, but lemaisa, you should follow the chaznish instead, and then you go, okay. So the two, the gedolei olam, for two very, very different reasons, came to the same conclusion. So the correct way to mesh a banana for a child should be kaliyaka. Whether you really believe like the chaznish, they have to do it, or whether you're just doing it in deference to the cover of the chaznish, the bottom line is, when you mash bananas for kids, you should try to do it. Should do it right for the meal. Not that it makes things even better.
Rafi, you mentioned Rav Moshe said you're transferring from one old state to a new state. So is that not grinding? What's grinding? Is it
grinding
changing of states?
No, grinding is it used to be a big piece of grain.
Now it's small.
And now it's a trillion pieces of little flour particles. That's the malacha of Teichin.
So he's saying because it's one mash, it's one whole, it's
right.
A mess. It's not separate individual
right.
Pieces.
Right. So that's ma'akiv. That's ma'akiv in the shem
Teichin. It's not considered
Nishkin
Teichin. Grinding.
You say an avocado is the same category.
Yeah, it's same here. It's same time for shem.
Can you give an example of kohariyat in this case?
Yeah, you use the back of a spoon or something.
The handle.
Use the handle. Or you have to use a spoon. Usually a spoon goof is considered to be probably a knife or something.
Chazanish would say about Moshe's objection to the Kula. Why do you think he thought that?
So the truth is that there are Rishonim who learn Pshat. There are certain malachas that Kula Achiyad is Matal Gamli. So there is a sugya about Teichin that may indicate, according to some things of Rishonim, that Kula Achiyad may do the trick. So why it should be and why it shouldn't be, that's a very long discussion of Moshe. That's why some Kula Achiyad are more Kula Achiyad.
It's striking that
Rav Moshe
thought that
it wasn't
talking at all, and
the
Chazanish thought that this
was.
Those are kind
of derisive.
It's like
the
feedback in
awe form.
So
how
did the Chazanish
explain
the
line? How did you view banana
Moshe?
I'm not a banana Moshe. Like reminds me, like reminds me what you're saying, that the Chazanish and Rav Moshe, they were both so unbelievable creative. But each one looked at a mashed banana and totally fundamentally looked. It's like the mushrooms. My point is, revelation of Chazanish to help with a can. About when you have a closed can and then you open a can, so what are you doing? So Chazanish assumed that a can is not a clean. He said it's a goylem, it's just a piece of metal. So you open up a can, so you're forming a clean. And a mush looked at a can the exact opposite way. He said a can, kozma, that it's closed, it's a gavalika clean, it's keeping the food inside. When you open it up, then you can't use it anymore, then you're destroying it. So they thought each one went to the store and bought a can of tuna fish and looked at the can fundamentally different. Ailu Ailu, you have to be a girl for terror to know how to look at a mashed banana, how to look at a can. Rabbi Uli, is this going online because this is getting a little out of hand? I don't think we said that last year. Okay, everybody said good. Okay, so now that we got the kids all eating away, munching away, the bananas, we got to give something healthy. He's getting hungry and just listening to the shit. So another favorite food of parents and kids and pediatricians are these baby cereals. So baby cereals are a whole complicated, convoluted issues involved in baby cereals, because basically what baby cereal is, you open up a box, you take some of the powder out of the box, you mix it with water, and stir it around a little bit, and then you attempt to feed it to the child. What could possibly be wrong with baby cereal? So you run into a very, very serious issue, malachas losh, of leisha, of kneading, because basically the malach of leisha is that you take a little particles of solid, like a little piece of flour, mix it with water, and try to make a dough. So it's over here, you take little particles of the baby cereal, mixing it together with the water, and you make it into a, not a dough, but kind of a consistency. So that should be a potential malach of losh. So how is possible to get around this malach? We have to identify a little bit about some of the club of malach of losh to appreciate how to solve this problem. So the Gemara has a big machlokes of Tanoim, and both in the first Brekka Shabbos, and it repeats itself 150 blot later in the last Brekka Shabbos, the machlokes of Tanoim, what exactly is the moment that one violates the malach of losh? Because leisha is a long process. From the flour and the water until you have a real dough, there are a few things happen. So there are two major stages of leisha. One is what's called the Sina Samayim, and the other is called Gibul. Sina Samayim, as its name connotes, means it's mixing the water and the flour touch each other. Gibul is when you start to mix it together, work it up, you know, really just start stirring it together. So what is the point of demarcation? What is the point of the malacha? So the machlokes is at the end. It's the Rebbe and the Rebbe Yehuda. So the reason why it's very hard to always remember the two names in this is because when the Sirisi quotes the sugya, so he keeps on calling it Rebbe, then he gives a Rashi Tavis from the Yosef Yehuda, which is Ribi. So you keep on reading it, and if you read it, and you have to sleep, and you're reading this long Beis Yosef and that Losh, so you can never remember whether you're reading Rebbe or Ribi. It's not like it's up to that. Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda. So Rebbe's opinion is that Nesina Samayim is the point in time. Rebbe Yosef Yehuda holds that the point of time is the later point, Enochai Vachi Egado. It's not clear if you're going to want to ask a second Mari. It's fine. So why do I care? We might have Kamina. We're clear here. We're not being the five of the skill anyway, so what do I care? At the end of the day, if you make the baby cereal, if you did both the Sintamayim, and you did Gimel, so you did the Malach, so what do I care when the point of Malach is? The Gemara has a Chiddush in Masechet Shabbos, I was touching a little bit what we said before, that if a person does a Shinoi, in Malach is Lisha, so Lisha may be one of those funny Malachas, and doing a Shinoi may actually be Mafiv and Lechatchila. The Gemara says that if you could figure out when exactly to do the Shinoi, so then the Shinoi is going to actually transform from being Mamish Mutter. What is the point of doing Shinoi? When are you going to do the Shinoi? Well, the answer is you're going to do the Shinoi at the time when the Malacha is violated, which pushes the question back. So when is the Malacha violated? So according to those who say Rebbe's view, then the Sina Samayim is the critical moment in the Malacha Felicia, and the Shinoi has to take place at the time of the Sina Samayim. What would a Shinoi be? How would you even do it? How would you do the Sina Samayim Shinoi? So the Gemara says, very simple, just flip the order. The Sina Samayim means the way, the point of contact between the water and the solid, the particles.
Eating water first.
So the Gemara says, so pick whichever way you do it during the week, and do it, flip it around on Shabbos. That's the Shinoi you say to the Sina Samayim. What if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that the Malach is not going to be violated at that point, so then that's going to be a meaning of the Shinoi. You have to push the Shinoi forward a little bit. You have to make the Shinoi daft at the time of Gibel. Now that Shinoi at the time of Gibel is not going to help you according to Rebbe, because you're already chayav skil. They already killed you for the base of skil. So what's the Shinoi 10 minutes later going to help you? So each Tana is going to have to find the Shinoi at the appropriate time when the Malacha, at the precise moment of the violation of the Malacha. What would a possible Shinoi be according to Yosef Yehuda? So the Gemara gives you two interesting ideas, how to do a Shinoi b'shas Gibel. The Gemara throws out the possibility of, instead of mixing with Mamasha, shake it together. That's not a really good way to shake it together. Or maybe instead of doing like, you know, a real circular motion, do a crisscross, do a crochet in Erev, do it a little this, a little that, you know, instead of doing it in the normal way. Or maybe instead of using a spoon, maybe you could use your finger, go for the washer finger first, or maybe that. That would also be possible. So it might give you a few options. What could be an acceptable shin? Again, assuming that the Rabbi Yosef is the correct point.
So Shinoi helps because Shinoi just isn't the Malacha?
So that's, again, this is part of the old story about when the Shinoi made things mut lugame, when the Shinoi didn't mitigate the Yisurim Derabon. So that's beyond, that's what we hope Shabbos Shabbos. But you must have the fairies and Shinoi will help you.
This Shinoi in this case would be in any case of leisha, or specifically for a kid, we're going to say...
No. This is the Gemara's talking about kids. The Gemara's talking about feeding animals. The Gemara's talking about other things. So which of these shinuyim is critical for us? So the answer is we don't know, because since there's a machlokes and rishonim, which is the point of lisha? So our practice is what chayshish for both opinions, and we insist that we have to be master lisha based on shinuyim, unless you can do a shinuyim at both points of the process. To make matters even more complicated in terms of lisha, there's a big machlokes and rishonim. What kind of a lisha are we going to be making on? The Gemara says in the end of Shabbos that not all lishas are deraisa. When is lisha deraisa? Is lisha derabanan? So the Gemara says it depends. If it's called a blila ova or blila racha. If it's a blila ova, so then there is a thick, like a pasty, like a dough type of a substance. That's the malacha deraisa of lisha. If it's a blila racha, more of a battery, a pouring kind of a substance, that's only a lisha midrabanan. So as a machlek, as a paiskim, all these coolers that we have in terms of lisha that we're doing not doing, you have one shinuyim, two shinuyim, whatever the shinuyim are those coolers only true if anyway we're dealing with a lisha derabanan, or can we have a right to make it even on the level of lisha deraisis? That's a further shot. So again, everyone agrees that there's some kind of a concept of a shinuyim and lisha being matir. There's machlekes have been shown, and based on the machlekes at the noim, what point do we insist on the lisha taking place? And then there's a further shayla. Are we willing to be matter any of these things, even on something that's a potential deraisa? So when you start to put together all the pictures over here, you're running into a big problem in terms of babysitting. Why? Because here I want to make baby cereal, so I have to ask myself a few questions. Number one, is this a blue ova, blue racha? If it's a blue ova, I'm getting very, very weary whether I even have a right to be making at all a blue ova. So the first thing I'd like to do is turn into a blue racha. How do you make things into a blue racha? I have more water. So you make it a little bit more liquidy. So the first thing people can say when you're making baby cereals, try to make it as liquidy as possible. Make it as liquidy as possible, so then at least there's a chance that it's closer to blue racha. Now, you know, if you err on that, then you ended up making a little blue lava-ish, so don't clap off it too many times. Just one advice, because there are some folks who say that even blue lava shinui may be mutter also. So yeah, we would prefer to make it a blue racha first, as best as we can. But even if we get it to the point that we're comfortable with blue racha, are we really comfortable in the shinuyim that we're going to do? So give me a shinuyim. So again, we said you have to do shinuyim on both. So what's the shinuyim? The shinuyim b'shas seder and sinis amayim. What is the shinuyim the seder and the sinis amayim? We can only answer that question if you know what the normal way of putting the sinis amayim is during the week. Whatever you do during the week, do opposite on Shabbos. So what do you do during the week? How do you make baby sin during the week? What do you put in first? Who votes the powder? Who here was? Anyone who has a kid made baby sin, who here votes the powder? Who here votes the water is forced during the week? Who here doesn't remember? I have no idea. I don't remember. Less than a baby sir. So, if you really have a Seder Kavua during the week, so then you just put that Seder on Shabbos. What if during the week you don't really think about it? Whatever comes out first happens. So then what do you do? So it's not like this in the contemporary film. Some folks can say that you look in the back of the box, and whatever rabbi, who makes it up? Pishna. Whatever rabbi, Pishna, Paskin during the week, you do the opposite. So whatever the box says to do, you do the opposite, that's called the shinuyim. Another person would say that's a late son, because the Meshuggah wrote the back of the cereal box in the direction, but he says it's a lot more Mishina. So it's unclear, is there really a Seder Kavua of his man as that? So if you really think there is, you have a Seder Kavua during the week, then you can avail yourself of this cooler. But again, that's not going to solve the world's problems, because you still have to be Meshad B'Shaz Gibul. So how you be Meshad B'Shaz Gibul? So you got to do one of the official Gibulim shinuyim. One of the Gibulim shinuyim, you got to shake it really well. Shake it real well, it's worth the garbage. It's not going to work. What's the next one? You're going to do crisscross, right? Instead of mixing it, you do crisscross. So if you're chayshish for the chazinish said that the cool of the gemar of shasi v'erich means like this. If you do one, then you have to take this knife out, and then go back in, and then go back this way. And then take it out. By the time you finish, it'll be $5. Okay? So that's if you want to do the cooler of shasi. If you want to use the cooler of your finger,
you better not do it during the week.
Maybe you should wear a glove. Maybe you should figure out how to do an answer with your finger. So suffice it to say that the shinuyim are possible, they're not great, and they're also dependent upon this blue of the rakha stories. Therefore, I would say like this. For any baby that doesn't really need these kinds of cereals and Shabbos, I would say forget the cereals and Shabbos. A baby really, really needs it. You know, you're a first-time dad, and you really believe, you know, that the kid has to eat the oat rice cereal for the first 3 days, and then 6 days for the oats, and then 7 days on the fruits, and then you really, really believe in this protocol, so then, you know, tov alecha bracha. But if you have your kids already, and you know, we put dead in the box anyway, so use a cabinet. So again, if you really, the bottom line is if the kid needs it, so then be careful, try as best you can to make a rule with racha, and try as best you can to make these multiple. Which, you know, I'll just tell you from a personal experience, I'm not telling you to come off my mindset, a personal experience that I remember when one of my kids, and my oldest, was a couple of months old, and I was horrified to see that my mother-in-law was feeding her children on Shabbos. And according to the protocol of the pediatrician, we hadn't even passed the oat stage yet. And she was mentioned when children, so my mother-in-law was born in Eretz Yisrael. She grew up in the old Yerushalayim. And she said, she said, when I was a little girl in Yerushalayim, they didn't feed them no baby cereals, they fed them children. So in the mother, she had the old survived, the old thriving. So anyway, so you can figure out, it's not a medical advice, a lack thereof, just be careful what you can see.
If people were to use their finger and mix it during the week, would you then have the same issue of not sure of which
one? You know, you have to use the spoon during the week. You shouldn't use your finger during the week, you shouldn't use the chopstick. Okay,
usually we ignore the das yachid, so I'm saying in general, the concept that whatever the rov does, that becomes the standard action. Most people, the derech tavachim is you put in the
powder first.
You put in powder and then you pour in the liquid. That's a derech tavachim.
Okay, unless this one guy does for care. The pastor said one guy does for care. So the other.
Why? Now we're going to follow derech tavachim. Since when do we do that?
No, for that one guy. For me, it's the normal way of doing it. I'm not saying it's bechayav the rest of the world to be mishugin, but if I'm mishugin, so I have to be mishugin in Shabbos. Okay. Good, so move on to some other aspects relating. We're still the eating stage. A lot of other things go up. So still the obviously the most important thing is food that food whatever you want to call it, that the baby is consuming right now, is hopefully gonna be the mother's milk. So mother's milk, that sounds like the least possible shadow. There's a lot of nurse on Shabbos, even though it's a very, very long dish of shadow. Why a person is a lot of nurse on Shabbos? What's a long dish of shadow? Because the Gemara says that chayle is considered to be a lach of their eyes. If you milk a cow on Shabbos, that's a malach deraisa. That's a malach deraisa. Malach is it? So there's not a 5-6 way of making some shen. What exactly malach is? It's usually assumed that's malach of disha. Disha is when you thresh on something. So I exert pressure on the grain and that cracks the grain open and the piece inside comes out. Whatever that happens exactly, that's malach of disha. So too, the Gemara says that on sechid peiris, if I squeeze fruit, that's called malach of disha. If I chelev an animal, that's called malach of disha. That's a rashi learns. That's what the Rambam learns. So probably most of the Rishonim learned that the malach involved is malach disha. The problem is that the Gemara also says that ain disha of gedula karka, which leads us to a problem that, generally speaking, people and animals are not really gedula karka. How do you explain that phenomenon? So there are different opinions in the Rishonim what the answer to that problem is. And it's because of that kasha that some Rishonim veered off and give other malachas that milking cows and extract milk from people is based on. And it's based on malachas mamachig, and based on malachas kaitzim, based on malachas gezes. Half dozen approaches in Rishon, and what exactly that phantom halacha is. And there's one day in Rishon that says, "Don't interrupt on him." Halacha, we assume that milking cows is a halacha deraisa. So there's a famous kasha, "Lech learn how? How can I let a baby nurse on Shabbos? Tape of lamb causing the baby, in a sense, to be milking, causing the baby to extract the milk. Isn't that a problem of causing a child to do halacha on Shabbos, which, as we learn as we go on, is a problem?" So the answer to the question is, we're not sure, but the mice is a matter of shayla. That hetagoma for a baby to nurse. However, what is not necessarily hetagoma is what if you have a situation where the baby is not able to nurse. Why can't the baby nurse? Either the baby's not feeling well, the mother's not feeling well, the baby's in the hospital, the mother's in the hospital. There's some problem here that the baby's not available to nurse. Okay, so the baby's going to get his formula, going to be provided with food, the baby's going to be in good hands. The problem is the mother is in a lot of pain. Because if a woman doesn't nurse for a while, she's going to start to get very, very painful. So she has to extract the milk in some shape or form, and the baby is not around to nurse. So what exactly are we going to do? So this is not just a Shabbos issue. This is a week also. The woman goes to work, so she's the baby's home, and the baby's getting formula, and the mother wants to nurse at night, but she can't go 10 hours without extracting milk. So we have all kinds of systems. A woman pumps milk, so she pumps the milk out. And normally, what a woman does, a nursing mother does, she goes to work, she pumps the milk, and she saves the milk in a special. Nursing kids, she saves the milk and puts it in the freezer, and eventually the baby drinks this milk. So on Shabbos, we think the same thing, that if a woman has to extract the milk for pain reasons, so let her extract the milk and save the milk, and should. So wait a second, Shabbos, who's mocked all this on Shabbos? This is the lach of their icing, this is the chaymah, what's going on? So the fact that we let the woman extract the milk, so that's based on the following, that the Rishon is right, that you're allowed to milk the cows on Shabbos, provided that there's no derais involved. You can somehow figure out a way to milk the cows only violating the Rabbanan, so that's mutter on Shabbos. Why is that? Because it's tzar b'lechayim. To make a cow not get rid of its milk for 24 hours is a terrible tzar for the animal. So to permit tzar b'lechayim, to permit this in the Rabbanan, tzar b'lechayim is sufficient. That's one of the end of the Shabbos. Not all the time, but sometimes that's the Rishon right. As long as it's only the Rabbanan, we'll be okay. That's why traditionally in Europe, for hundreds and hundreds of years, that the milking of cows was always done by the Goyim. It was always a meal yachm on Shabbos. So Kevi had a fill of roof, he had his cow. So we would ask, is it going down the block to milk the cow from the Shabbos? And sure, the meal yachm is mukhah, it's the Rabbanan, it's the Tzad al-Chaim, and sure. This was a big issue, those who know, so you know what things would happen in Eretz Yisrael in the early 1900s. So there was a big, big fight in Eretz Yisrael about when the Jews started to build kibbutzim or shavim in Eretz Yisrael. So they wanted to only use Jewish labor, they wanted to use non-Jewish labor. So they didn't want to have goyim coming out to the kibbutzim on Shabbos and milking the cows. So those Jews who were from, so had to figure out other eitzes to how, is it, are there any other eitzes whatsoever. But again, but traditionally that was the original eitza, was always the idea of goyim. So one of the suggestions that was made right in the days of the Rishonim is that maybe there's another way. Maybe there's a way to milk a cow that would be mutter, and then it's going to carry over to milk to a nursing woman as well. Maybe there's another way to milk a cow on Shabbos for Heter, or at least the Rabbanan, is if it's done, it's called Cholag Le'ibur. If you milk the cow, you don't use the milk. You just extract the milk and just throw the milk into the fourth of the garbage. Milk gets washed away. So Cholag Le'ibur maybe is okay on Shabbos. What's the Heter? So Cholag Le'ibur, the Rishonim right, is not a deraisa for two reasons. First of all, the principle called Malach Shetzir HaZufa. Whenever I do a Malacha, not for the, we try to explain, not for the purpose where the Malacha was done in the Mishkan. So let's say in the days of the Mishkan, so Dosh was done to use the item that I'm being Dosh. But if I'm doing the Malacha to get rid of the item that I'm being Dosh, so that's so fundamentally different than the way the Malacha was practiced in the Mishkan, that's called the Malacha Shetzir HaZufa. That tells us how to do it. So the Rishonim write that if you chel of the ibud, it's not a deraisa, it's not a derabbanan. The derabbanan is going to be looked the other way for tzar b'lechayim. And then the Rishonim had on Rabbeinu Baruch quotes another svara, that maybe this is all better than the malach shetzir b'gufa. Maybe this is just not malacha's dosh. The whole tzuras of malacha is such, sometimes the tzorech of a malacha is an external part of defining the malacha, and sometimes the tzorech is mamish part of the integral part of the definition of the malacha. It's already way beyond the scope right now. But very often, when you're so lacking in the tzorech is so radically different, it's not that it's a malacha, shetzir b'gufa, it's always the malacha. There's a place in Shabbos that talks about this. How do you know when is when? When is when? You gotta learn Shabbos to figure this out. But for our purposes, it could be that disha is one of those malachas, that the tzorech is such an integral part of the malacha that its absence redefines it as no longer being a malacha. If that's the case, then you can be chayav l'ibud. So the later post can extrapolate and say, Madach for a tzar of the behemoth, you're allowed to be chayav l'ibud. So the tzar of a person, Makor Shigain. So a person is also an animal. You're a levish chayav, you're also a tzar of the chayav. So you're allowed to, if we say to the derech, the Roshon should save you from the chayav shiros, but derech. So chayav shiros don't only mean four legged animals, they mean two legged drivers, they don't know how to drive, they're also chayav shiros, and chayav shiros, but derech. So the post can write that when you extract milk, to prevent the woman from suffering, so that's mutter. It's mutter because it's malach shetzir b'gufa, and it's mutter because it's not the derech malach, it's not the malach b'chol. But comes the problem here. If we just want to extract milk from the mother and shoyin and just spill it out something, that would be fine. But the problem is the mother says, wait a second, you're extracting my milk. I want to save my, I'm going to see my baby today in half. I want to give this milk to the baby tonight. I want to put it in the freezer and save it for next week. I don't want to just throw my milk. It's too precious to throw out. So that runs into a very serious problem. Because once you start to collect the milk, that becomes a problem. Then it's no longer a chol of libud. Then it's a chol of l'skayim. So that becomes a malacha deraisa. So the pashat advarim is that that's a serious problem. And for a person to collect milk in order to feed the baby, that's a very, very serious problem. So that really should be avoided. So therefore, when a woman has to extract milk, she's not able to nurse, we should plug in some kind of a system. That's what's called a chol of libud. How do you do that? So there's a machlekes aposkim, just how quickly the ibud is the ibud. So the Chazanish was machmir that something is not called the ibud unless it's mamish directly the ibud. It has to come out of the woman's body, out of the animal's body, and go right away into the state of being garbage, right away being the state of being trash. if it's going to collect even for a short amount of time, even though you plan in 10 minutes from now to run into the garbage, that's not called the Ibud Tzigadais. Ibud is Pshitik Roshma. So very, when a woman wants to use, let's say, a pump or something, she wants to pump the milk out and discard that milk, so according to Chazanish, she has to put something in the receptacle, pumps out of the body, and the milk goes into a receptacle. So during the week, you take that milk and store it. So here, you have to put something into the receptacle that would ruin the milk with chila. What would you put there? You put some soap or something, or some dish soap or there. Put something in there beforehand that as soon as the milk hits that receptacle, as soon as it collects, it's already garbage. We never ever use such milk. But if you would collect the milk first into the receptacle and then take it over, pour it down the drain, that would no longer be chal libra according to the Chazanish standards of chal libra. And not everyone agreed to that. A lot of lumdus why that Chazanish not true, whatever it is, but not everyone agreed to that Chazanish. So that's where there are different brachas. There's some rabbanim who are very machmir in this, and tell the women when you chal libra on Shabbos, you got to make sure that you put some soap in the bottom. And not everyone agrees to that chumra.
Would there be any way that the mother theoretically can milk if she could see the child within a certain amount of time?
Okay, we'll get that in a second. Okay? So, but this is everything we're talking about is assuming that the only potential halacha here is just the cholif part. So we solve the cholif part by saying it's fundamentally mut because it's machum tzar, and we can't provide the baby with this particular milk. We've got to make a cholif whatever the standards are, but how are you going to get the milk out in the first place? So until 50 years ago, until 30 years ago, whatever it was, so the way was they had a manual pump. So now she put the pump on her body, she didn't have a pump to get the milk out. As a matter of fact, nobody does that. That's not the most popular way of doing it. It's not the most efficient way. They have electric pumps now. So she puts on the pump onto her body and then presses a button, jerk, and it pumps out the milk for her instead of doing it manually. So that's a whole other problem. How are you going to do that in Shabbos? That'll be helpful with all the other issues. How are you get around the issue of pressing electricity? Unless you figure out a way to put the pump on a Shabbos clock. You have to, she knows it every 3, 4, 5 hours, whatever it is, she's going to have to pump. So she'll have to set up on a Shabbos clock. So that's going to get a little more complicated. Well, let's say it's too hot to figure that out, and she doesn't have enough possible to do that. Maybe she has to get going to turn on and off the pump for her. Really, I'm going to run it, and she has to show some from inside. You have to figure out eights how to get around these problems. So again, anytime you have to solve two problems. You have to solve the pumping problem, and then you have to solve the chol libra problem in order to get around this. And what would the halacha be in the following case? Let's say, as you asked correctly, let's say the baby's not away, I'm not seeing the baby for another 3 days. The baby's sitting right next to her. The problem is the baby can't nurse. The baby's having problems nursing, but the baby can take a bottle, and we would prefer to have the bottle be the mother's milk. The health is the best thing, the most natural thing for the baby. So can we do as follows? We have the mother of Shabbos extract the milk in the pump, not with soap. With soap, we don't want to be that today. We extract the milk normally and feed this milk, mamish, to the baby. So can you do that? I'm not talking about storing the milk for next week. I'm talking about giving the baby the milk in 10 minutes from now. So according to many people, there's a Shabbos deraisa. How can you do that? He said that that's called cholev letzorich. Letzorich, mamish, malach atzrich l'guf mamish. That's like milking a cow and then making yourself a cup of milk. So that should be a big problem. What possible grounds could we use to be mocked that? So there's only one cloud we could use to be mocked with derisa. What's that?
Something
closer to that? No, it's not for that. You need better than that. You need pikuach nefesh for this one.
Right.
So you got to claim it's pikuach nefesh. So you have to honestly believe that this is a chashash of pikuach nefesh. So this depends on the yes. So maybe one would argue that, yeah, pikuach nefesh, that the baby really needs this milk. Yesh, yesh, depends. If this baby Taka does not have experience taking a bottle, is not taking formula, won't take formula, and the mother doesn't have any other stored up milk, and really the baby is Taka not eating properly, so that's Hashash and infant, Hashash, whatever, the baby's not going to eat for all day, and so that's not a good beverage. So if that's true, really, that the baby is not taking properly, and the only way to do it is this way, or even if you think that's the only way, you have a suffix, it's a Hashash, it's a Hashash called the who, that's something good beverage, that's the only way. But if you have no reason to believe that's true, and for kids, the baby's been taking formula for the last 6 weeks, so all of a sudden, you know, the baby's fine. In the middle of the night, the baby takes formula. So you think that's better for the baby. Better for the baby is not to go back. So there are different opinions, different rabbanim today, know how much we have to be concerned with this. The starting point should probably be that, let's find out what the facts are. This particular baby really, really, really needs it. We really feel that the baby is not going to be drinking properly, not mother's milk. then we have a right to be make a chashim to them. But if those are not the facts, then again, it's hard for me to be make a lot rather than that, and the facts don't seem to dictate in that direction. There are other issues involved in terms of preparing milk for babies. Sometimes you have to prepare a formula. So preparing the formula itself, that's pretty simple. There's no malach alish in that, it's just a liquid. That's not the poskim say that when you make iced tea or shabbos or something, you're using powder, that's not lisha. Lisha is when you mix powder and water, mix it together, and it becomes some degree of consistency, either very thick or quasi thick. But if it just remains a liquid, that's a cold liquid, that's nothing. It's just making a formula, that wouldn't be a problem. What if I want to heat up a bottle? So very often, let's say the same woman who was nursing, who was storing bottles of frozen milk from the last week, now she wants to give it, let's say she's not producing so much milk right now, she wants to take out a frozen bottle and defrost it and give it to the child, and you want the child's crying, you want to heat it up a little bit quicker, so you could potentially run into a problem of bishul on that bottle. So the truth is, you're probably not really going to run into a bishul problem because it's highly unlikely you're going to make this milk to be had to let us know. But most probably not. So the Toskim say that whenever you heat up bottles, you should try to keep in mind the regular rules of milk bishul. What are the regular rules of bishul? We start all the bishul now, we're probably not going to finish. So the kids, if we get to Nimritz, that there are different opinions. If you want to stick this this bottle into something that's going to warm it up, if you stick it into klishlishi, yesh mokum mokum. If it's a formula, the formula is already pre-cooked, so it's even more complicated, bishul achar bishul, so it's probably not even klisheni. But if it wasn't yet cooked, it's mother's milk, so it wasn't yet cooked, you stick it into klishlishi, so Ramosha's makel. Ramosha's makel and bishul and klishlishi, whether we accept it or not, in these cases, it's never going to reach Hatzalah's law anyway, so it's not the end of the world.
Formula would only be good if the water was also pre-boiled.
Right. If the water was right. Okay. Good. So Baruch Hashem, the baby is happy, he's eating, he's well, sleeping, hopefully. Now we move to the next aspect of Baruch Hashem, related to kids. And that's now that the child is going to the bathroom, we have a whole another array of halachas that come our way. That's the issue of diapers. So let's see how many potential problems we have in terms of changing children who have jobs. So the first issue that we have is opening and closing diapers, which runs into the potential halacha of Kareya and Taifa. So the truth is that it's only Kareya and Taifa in certain brands of diapers, not in others. The Rambam writes that part of the halacha of Kareya and Taifa is Medabek Miyaris. If a person glues together papers, that's a tolda of Taifa. If a person rips apart the papers, and they glue it together, that's the halacha of Kareya. So anytime you have diapers that involve adhesive strips on them, that runs into the potential risk of the halachas of Kareya and Taifa. So some diapers today are still made with adhesive strips. Last year, Pampers were still that way. Last we checked, who has got little kids? Who here uses Pampers? Pampers, what? They're still adhesive. The Huggies are not, right?
I think they are.
No, I think Huggies switched to Velcro. Pampers is already switched out of the glue. I don't remember. Last I checked, Pampers was still gluing, and Huggies was Velcroing. I don't know, could be things have changed, but I don't know. So, we'll talk about it all. So, assuming that we have the old style diapers of gluing together, so even if it's not true for diapers, even if one for the band-aids, so everyone's going to say now it's the same for band-aids. So, what's the deal? I'm going to open up adhesive strip when it closes. Kareya, Taifa, Kareya, Taifa, there's a formula of that I said. I'm going to open it up, it's Kareya. I close it, the baby, it's Taifa. Now, later, the baby's dirty, I have to take it off, it's Kareya. And then I close it up again, it's going to the garden. Just like a formula of that I said, like that. So what possible coolers can we avail ourselves? So maybe one can argue that this is bechlal like your entire. Now these kinds of adhesive strips, this is not the medabek niyaros of the Rambam. The medabek niyaros of the Rambam means it's stuck together. This really heavy duty, industrial glue has got to rip it apart into pieces. This is chalitzanus. This is nothing. So if you take that approach, then we solve all the world's problems. But if you're not willing to say that chiluk, so what other coolers are available for us? So there's a big machlokes in Rishayim whether in Malachas of Kareya and Taifa is there a distinction called Kriya Tfirish Enemus Kayamus or not? A Tfirish Enemus of Kayama. We know that in certain Malachas, so Kayama plays a big role. Let's say Malachas Kesha. So it would be a Kesha derais, it has to be a Kesha Shal Kayama. Whatever that means, that you define that as another story, but it's got to be a Kesha Shal Kayama. What about Malachas Taifa? In order to violate Taifa, must you have a tefira shell that you have up, or we never heard of no such Gemara that says that. That's a big, big machlokes of Rishonim about whether there is an absolute criteria to be a malachas taif in Korea, must it be something that shall kayama. How do we pass the malach on that? So the Ramos quotes both opinions, and then the Ramos says that we shouldn't tell the Amaratzim that the Ikra did is that it's okay. The Ramos says just keep it on the hashash, because if you tell people that the creation of Shekhayam is mutter, even that the Ikra did, the Ramos says they can be mezalos in the malach of Korean Shabbos. So some posts write that the Ramos was nervous about telling the Balvatim, telling the Amaratzim, not the Balvatim, telling certain people the Amaratzim, the Ramos says that's when it comes to thread. So you can tell a person that if they threaded the material and made it in a Shabbayama, they can undo stitches on Shabbos. That's a very, very dangerous thing. You tell people they can start doing the tailoring work on Shabbos, all the Shabbayama. The Rambam didn't want that. But with Rambam Aser, in a Shabbayama on band-aids and diapers, it's so far-fetched, such extension of Tefer, anyway, not even sure it's Tefer altogether, and it still doesn't really become a real Tefer, so maybe the Rambam would be okay with that even. So some posts have that Mahalach. Now, whatever is in Inosho Kayam, everything is hunky dory. As long as we get it to be Inosho Kayam, everything's fine. How do you define Inosho Kayam? That's a further question. So, Nuchas Kaisha, which is the source for Inosho Kayam, everything usually revolves around 24 hours. There are different opinions. That's how we know, hey, that a Kesha that's more than 24 hours, we're concerned that there's any Chashash in the Kesha Shokayam. So, a Tfira that's already been around for 24 hours is already a Chashash in the Tfira Shokayam. So, now let's analyze the shadow. So, I'm about to open up the diet, I'm going to open up the Pampers. So, I want to, it's mutter for you to open up the pamphlet. Why? Because it's not really stuck together anyway. It's only a sphere of Shasha Bayama. It's been around for 10 years. And they made it in the factory 10 years ago. It was stuck, so we'll put it in Shasha Bayama. If you bought the cakes from the factory Friday afternoon, then it ends up in Shasha. It's a joke. So, Sebacharim right now. Sebacharim right, that's also called sphere of Shasha Bayama. Why? Kayama means that when it was stuck together, it was meant to stick together forever and ever and ever, or for X amount of time. When they stuck it together, the kavana, the guy who pressed the button, didn't form a thinking, but when he would have stopped and asked him, what are you thinking? How long do you plan this to be stuck together for? What is that to be? Whenever the customer comes and opens it, that's all he cares about. So the customer may come in the next 10 minutes and buy the box, may come in an hour from now, may come in 10 minutes from now. So who knows? There's all ichbar, they can care less than shokhayama. So if he didn't, that's called David Shokhayama. So if you're willing to make it like that, then you're okay. So then I can open up that first sticking because it's the tefira shel Inosho Kayam. I'm assuming that that's okay by tefira. Then when I stick it together, close it on the baby. So I'm doing a tefira that is for sure Inosho Kayam because why? It's not gonna last 24 hours. Then when the baby gets dirty, so I open it up. So I say, well, that's okay because that was Inosho Kayam. And now. What do people tend to do after they have a dirty diaper? They tend to, before they throw it out, they tend to stick it back together again because it was all over the place. So they stick it back, pieces back together again, and they throw it into a little bag, and they throw it into the garbage. So that last sticking together may be the most serious of all of them. Why? Because once you're kavan at that point, it should stay that way forever and ever. You never want to see that diaper open again. So one can argue, out of all the tefiras in Kriyas, it's the last one that's the worst. And the last one argues, well, I don't even know what I'm going to argue.
Taking it off, when you take it off the baby, intrinsically, especially if we're saying there's an issue with the closing it afterwards, that means you really need for it to stay open on sofa.
No. It doesn't matter if you plan to stay open. The question is, what was it? The malacha of Korea is undoing a tefira.
Uh-huh.
So if you define tefira, Shem Shikam, it's Nishkin tefira, that's okay.
It's not undoing.
So it's that last. The last few that's the math, no pun intended, that's the math, that's the problem. Unless you say like this, unless you argue a svar like this, that I really don't care how long this diaper stays stuck together. I only want it to stay stuck together for the following length of time, until it's down my incinerator chute, until it's in my back garbage can. That I don't care if it opens up in the waste in the landfill somewhere in Long Island in 2 weeks from now in Mamashul, I couldn't get it. Open up the garbage truck in the back of New York City garbage truck. It's not going to bother me one way or the other. So it could argue that mitzidi, it's true that lamaisa it's the adisha kayama. It's probably not going to open up. Well, when it opens up, will be in who knows how many months it's going to open up, but. Mechshavti, so mas mechshavet chiva, but mechshavet is not on the tefira. It's mechshavet the shavuot and it closes your diaper. It means you follow what lemaisa is going to happen. Lemaisa is going to be shabayama. But in my machshava, I don't want it to be machshava kayamas. So how do you define that? Is that called kayama, that called kayama? So there's an unbelievable raya. When the collector's items raya's. That the moral distinct, talked about this shayla. He didn't talk about diapers, the from this shayla. He raised the shayla. What's the din? He went the following unbelievable raya. Try to learn not the left. The moral the raya. Maybe. He's a raya from the soil la'azoza. Remember from last year? The soil la'azoza. The soil la'azoza. When they tossed the soil la'azoza off the cliff, so the Mishnah says they tied kasha lo kesha shal ha'iris, the kind of, they tied a thing, a bit of kesha around the torrents. And what happened to the soil? That it went tumbling down. So the Baruch Diskin, the Ariel Briskin, he was the first Briskin Rebbe. Before the Briskin Rebbe, he was the real Briskin Rebbe. The first Briskin Rebbe. And here's our Briskin Kash. He says, how can they toss it down? Tables are shot of kesha. How can they tie it? The kesha and yom tiv, kesha and yom kippur, the malacha dechai kares, the tying the thing around the soil. And that's not Berch HaShabbos. The Melechas HaSor is Berch HaShabbos. This is not part of the Avodas HaSor. You know, it's not a kid. It's not a din d'oraisa to do this. It was just a minute that they did it to show themselves whether they got a Mechilas HaVenus or not. So, says the Maral Diskin, what right do you have to do with the Chach Kosher? So he says, no, you know what? It was Mutlach because it was Kosher She'er HaShem Kayama. He says, what do you mean HaShem Kayama? It's going to last forever. He says, you're right. But all they cared about was for the first 10 seconds. They just wanted to see it turn white. Once they start doing white, the David couldn't kill us. There, the horns, they fall off the horns. The kids, once the stars, if we're down the mountain, they couldn't kill us, what happens? So even though Ayodei Maisa, probably not going to come off, since the Machshava was, they couldn't kill us, thus it's called the Kesh Jereshah. We could extrapolate from there to the Shavs of Tzvi as well. So I should take about this. One could be Doicha the Raya. One could argue that maybe when it went tumbling down, as the Mishnah says, Nasa Evarim Evarim, so you get the impression of our existence. The only part that remained intact was the horns with the kesha. The whole thing collapsed. The whole thing self-imploded. The whole sword fell into pieces, including the ribbon got ripped into million shreds also. So the whole thing was ma'ashe and shafayim. Not just ma'ashe, it was ma'ase and shafayim. I wasn't there. I wasn't watching this. I was too busy. We were hearing the Kohen Gadol read the Kriyasi Yom Kippurim. I didn't even see the Seol HaShalef. I didn't see the whole picture. So if you were there next time, you happen to see the Seol HaShalef, go down the cliff. So take a look and see. Go down the cliff afterwards. Don't fall down. So go check the Motzei Yom Tov and see is the ribbon still in pieces. The ribbon is still connected. It's still kosher. So the Arayah from the Maral Diskin, you can be mounted to the diapers. And if not, then you know the Arayah. It's interesting. One of the collected items. It's like an example of, you know, they tell the story about Gemara says the Yenis in the Zeal. The Zeal learned the Ofer Karech. They say there was a chosid and a snagger. They learned this Gemara. So the chosid reads this Gemara and says, "Wow, the Ofer, unbelievable! What a kedusha! The Halig of Yenis in the Zeal, the Koyach, the Eish, the Sirafim, the Yafan, the Malach Hasharis, the fire words, and the snagger, the Litzbach." Look at the Gemara. Says, "Yeah, Yenis in the Zeal burnt the bird." Is it a good mazik? Is that a grumble? Is that a garmi? Is it a chayv of tzoros? Is that a chayv of chayv of mazik? So it's over here. The chos is learning the sugi and you were saying, Klai is all waiting for mechilas avaynis. The whole year, the kohen gadol and the kohen shekadosh are waiting for the shavu azazel. Is it going to turn white or not? What's going to happen? And the snag in the simian, Ef shazayin, it's a mochad, the rice of kosher, maybe it is, maybe it's not, shachayom, not shachayom, a different taste on our tradition. Okay, anyway. Getting back to what I said. So, Lafini is the best way to open up all the stuff is as follows. Leave out that last cotton. Don't stick this tight together. Just take it and roll it together as best as you can and just throw it until the egg finished. You want to put a rubber band around this. It's better not. That last tie is a shaky tie. It's a questionable tie. The other openings and closings, yesh makom hacham. If one wants to be machmer on the first opening and closing, because the first one was umta kula gada kula, we were assuming that Tfir Shashakam is okay, and then we were assuming that this is called the Enshachayama because the fact we had in mind, etc. So not everybody agrees to that. I remember when my oldest was born, so we used to try to be machmer for the first one. Namely, we would open up all the diapers, whatever was not the diapers, but we need the Shabbos, we'd open them from before Shabbos. You can't leave them open the gamer because they lose the stiff and they're worthless. So we open them quickly and then close them. Open and close them, 15 million diapers. So now you don't have to rely on that first school. Look, then it's Mamash and Shachayama. At least these would be the first one. So we used to do that for a while until I remember we stopped doing it. We stopped doing it when my second child was born and the first one was still in diapers. And then it was a Chodesh Tishrei series of 3 day young tovers. So we were opening up. It was coming out to two kids per diaper, so 3 days, it was like 170 diapers like per weekend. It was getting out of control. So I told my wife she could be Meishul. Well, I really, really wants to be Meishul. Yes, she can be Meishul on the opening of that. Okay, so that's all the bad news. The good news is that most of the diapers today have Velcro in them. So the Velcro are probably five more cow altogether, if I know Korea and not Tefer altogether. So those who use the Velcro diapers even better. Those who use these other diapers definitely have Amal and Smoke as well. Even though we spent a lot of time on the diapers, but all we said about diapers applies to band-aids also. Kids tend to cut themselves also. So it's all the same shout about the band-aids. Also, the Ikrei Din, you can open up a band-aid at Shabbos in terms of the adhesive thing. And let's say you have to wrap a, sometimes a kid cuts himself on the finger or something, so you tend to make like a little crown, or you wrap the band-aid around itself. So according to non-moral discipline people, that would be a problem. Because when you take that off, he's going to pull it off and throw it to the garbage. So it's probably better to happen in such a way that you didn't wrap the band, that it remains in Makom Kavua in any shape or form. You just wrap it against the skin, and then when you take it off a few hours later, it's in a shul.
The chepetz of the diaper and the chepetz of the band-aid is temporary. In its construction, it's temporary. We don't need all the slumdus to tell us that
if I'm doing it, there are kavuas. I'll tell you. I mean, a band-aid is generally temporary, but if I'm making it into a way, that's a chayam, not going to be a problem. Again, unless you redefine what chayam means, unless you're risky, I'll let you know this thing.
If you put on the band-aid, hoping it's going to stay on for the next 2 days, that'll be a problem.
Yeah, but band-aids don't stay on for the whole session. Okay, yeah.
What about the paper around the band-aid?
That's another shine, that's a whole other shine. So you have to try to open that without written letters, that's already a letter shine, more than a kid shine. Okay, let's move on a little bit. So we jumped the gun a little bit. We put the diapers on, but we didn't clean the baby yet. So you have to make sure to clean the baby first. So how do you do that? So you go and wipes. That's a bunch of baby wipes. It's very complicated, baby wipes. The shalav sechet of shechita. Because anytime you have any liquid that's absorbed into any kind of a garment, kind of material, you're running the risk potentially of a very, very serious problem of shechita. So are baby wipes a problem of shechita or not? Depends who you ask. So Lafini's diet, it all boils down to a really, really basic Matthias question, namely, is the liquid really truly absorbed into the wipe or not? So if you really believe that the liquid is absorbed into the wipe, then you have a problem. If you really believe that the liquid is fundamentally external to the wipe, then it should be okay. I don't have enough expertise in this to tell you what the answer to the question is. I can tell you that some rabbanim are very convinced one way, other rabbanim are very convinced the other way. That's where there are different opinions, and we know that both skin, none of the wipes have worked all together. Those who use wipes, definitely you shouldn't listen. If your wife is one of those people, she has one to be summified. If you're one of those people, there are, we know they're possible to be summified. But again, you should just be aware of the fact, not everyone agrees. Those who don't like to use wipes, so there's a spray out there. Some Hamish company put out some spray. I remember when one of my kids was born, I went to the store, I'm so excited, I bought 20 of them, and they're still sitting there. Kids already in high school, they're still sitting there because my wife refused to use them. Because she said they don't work. So, the great Shabbos said they don't clean. But again, some people like them, some people don't like them. I can't tell you one way or the other. Okay, great. So we basically fed the baby and we cleaned the baby. What do we do next to the baby? We put the baby to sleep. Okay, if we're tired, we're going to something. So putting a baby to sleep, what could possibly go wrong? Putting a baby to sleep. So how are we going to put the baby to sleep? So we have to take the baby for a walk. That's the best way to put the baby to sleep. The problem is there's no Erev. We have no Erev. How in the world do we get the baby outside? So the answer is we're not going to get the baby outside. Why can't we get the baby outside? Everybody knows. So the answer to that question is, that's not 100% true in this application. So there is a machlekes atzmo, whether chaynos atzmo, whether carrying a human being is considered to be a problem of the rites and Shabbos or not. But everybody agrees that it's at least a problem of the Rabbanan. We passed in the chay is no atzmo in that Torah. With the Rabbanon, it would still be a problem. So I'm not allowed to carry a person on Shabbos. The babies are even worse than regular people because babies are eino yochel hachbarav. They can't walk on their own. So if a baby is too young and can't walk at all, so according to the Pal Devosid Rishon, you don't even say chayin azazatzu anymore, and that would be a potential Shabbat deraisa. So to take a baby outside when there's no eruv, so that's a no-no. If the baby can walk on their own, that's still a problem with the Rabbanon. And if the baby can't walk on their own, then it's even more serious problem. What if the area that I'm pushing the baby in is not a shram deraisa, it's only a karmelis, like many of our areas are, So kamos means an area that's also counted with the Rabbanan. It's missing some of the conditions of Rishram deraisa. That would still be a problem, no problem with the Rabbanan. Are there any grounds to permit, if I do it on a day of goy, asking a goy to push a baby carriage for me? So can we say, well, it's only a kamos anyway, and it's only a mil yakom, and it's a maybe a kamos a zatzbom, it's our kamos a zatzbom. So can we start to collect together some of these dinim derabbanan? So there are different opinions about this. So one should really try to avoid. This is not the proper protocol to be doing on Shabbos, to have a goy and push the baby carriages. Although there are some folks who say that if there's no real minig one way or the other in the community, in the Midwest summer for some Shabbaton, and nobody has any minig about anything, no one knows anything about Shabbos out there, so no one's going to view this as a breach of Shabbos, and you're really, really stuck because the place that you're staying is 6 miles away from where you're sleeping, where you're eating. So there are some folks who are more lenient to allow you to have a goy push the baby carriage based on these svaras, that it's only a camel's anyway, probably, and it's only a real yakum, and it's a big machal mitzvah, so maybe it would be mutter. But again, those are really the extenuating yotzim in the club. The normal circumstances is baby should not be pushed outside the Shabbos, being that the Jews, being that they goyim. And one has to be very careful. A lot of people are just not aware of the ABCs of this. I remember a few years ago, the air fell down one Friday, and some of the people called me the most ridiculous questions, only because you could tell they never had lived in a community ever, never spent a Shabbos in their life without an air. So one woman called me and said, can I carry my baby in my little, couch? Because I'm wearing the baby, not carrying the baby. I don't think you're wearing the baby, you're carrying the baby. So that was the problem. So you have to be careful about that.
Would the situation be any different if somebody didn't rely on an error, meaning only with Amir al-Akram,
So if you're living, if you're in a community that you know, the air is really good, and you have certain homers and things you don't want to rely on, so then okay, so then maybe you've got some much more grounds to be
going back to wipes in the bathroom, what issues are there with using
Oh, I should mention the group. Okay, so let me wait when I talk about, in general, babies don't feel well. When I talk about the whole thing, how come we don't talk? Okay? We'll run out of time. Okay? Fine. So the baby walked in well too well. All right? So I have to get this kid to sleep in the house. What do I do with him? So the great way to relax a kid is you put him in one of these baby swings. All right? I put him in the swing, and I wind up the swing, and he falls in, I fall asleep, and shut myself. So the problem is that the winding up of the swing may be a serious problem. Because the Chayyada writes that when you wind up a watch in Shabbos, it's Melacha Deraisa. Watch isn't working, you wind it up, it's Machmir Patish. So the Chayyada said that's Machmir Patish. To some extent, it said, anytime you have a Kli that's not working right now, and you're winding it up, look, that's making a Kli. So take the money, that's Machmir Patish. So some folks wanted to ask the baby swings based on that. So Rav Shlomo Zalman responded, didn't think they were the same. Why? Because when you have a watch that's not telling the time, it's not on time, so it's broken. It's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. So I look at my watch and I say, Gavalt, my watch stopped. Oh, yeah, it's not working. I better go wind it up. I walk into my house and I say, oh, yeah, the baby swing is not moving. It must be broken. It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be swinging. So that's not called tikkun hakli. And others are not so sure that that's far is luchach. So, yes, there are different opinions about baby swings. So remember when my oldest was born, it was in the Heights, so we needed some entertainment at Shabbos, so we decided, oh, we'll get a baby swing. I said, no, not so fast. I said, I'm not so comfortable with the winding of the baby swing. Let's get a battery swing. We'll get a battery swing. We'll put the batteries in, and we'll turn on the swing before Shabbos, and sure, now we're up there, no problems. So we did that for one Shabbos, and then I realized that it makes a lot of noise. And it makes a lot of noise, and the shadow, maybe a more serious shadow than the winding up, Shalom HaShemiah Kol, the rest of the first day of Shabbos, that you're not allowed to put a grain into a water wheel on Friday, even though the melacha is happening by itself, because it's mashmiach kol, it's drawing attention, it's making a lot of noise, it's naf shimos, it's the design of Shabbos. So it's machayiz machaber nirmol, it's the pasuk, and the Rosh Hashanah, nirmol is machmir, that anything that's normally done on Friday, that people don't always realize you did it on Friday. Sometimes you do it on Friday, sometimes you do it on Shabbos, and it draws attention to itself, that's the problem. So if I walk into the house and I hear a baby swing going, so most people are going to say, must have pressed the button on Shabbos. They're going to see it's a battery swing. There's no winding thing. But that's the Ashilas. That's exactly what the Gemara says you shouldn't do. So we nixed that. We got rid of that. That's what was good for the 6 days of the week. So nice. The kids made it. They made it through life without baby swings. And never really had to use it. I just manually just push the kid a few times, doesn't do the trick anyway, and so you have to walk around three times.
On Thursday.
What?
Put it on
the business. No. Two zills on them. You can't have them walk up for dinner and make more than that.
I'm assuming you're referring to maybe something that plugs in is off. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. No. I don't think plug it. The battery ones. So if you turn on the battery, if you press the button to go on before Shabbos, so I thought that would solve the problem, but it creates another problem with Shmichel.
But if it's off entirely?
It's off entirely, just if you want, yeah, it's not a good job, but yeah. You're going to get more tired in the day.
How loud does it have to be?
Rabbi Shirai said, if you can hear it in the next room, that's what I'm doing. That's very much asked, it'll be a long process. Because as long as you can hear it in the next room, Russian.
Why aren't air conditioned?
Yeah, that's a good question. We don't want to know the answer. We want that answer to be wanted, but we're not quite sure why. Okay? All right, good. Okay, so now, Baruch Hashem, the baby's doing well, the baby's playing nicely. And now if the baby gets hurt. Well, the baby doesn't feel well. Now what do we do? So babies generally are treated, and babies and young children are treated generally as cholim she'ein b'sakana. They're generally treated as cholim she'ein b'sakana. As a cholim she'ein b'sakana, you're entitled to certain kulas. One of the kulas is amir liyakum. So even on a malacha d'oraisa, as long as the goy does it for you, if you tzorach a child, let's say, for example, you have to take care of something with the baby, you have to have a light turn on, whatever it is you need. So even though it's not the Bukhlev Shmah, but some kind of tzorach for a little kid, so we assume that's called the Chayla Shein Bersakon, and Amir Yachim outright is mutter, even on what would otherwise, if you would do it, would be Malachim Yeraisa. What if there's no goy available? So what are you allowed to do yourself? That's a big Bukhlev Shmah. Some Yisharim hold you're allowed to do all Yisharim Jarbon and even be a Dayim Amish if you're stuck. There's no go around, so it's a chashim, but you've got to all assume there's one namotim. But Mishnah Berurah quotes a chayyad that says, when all else fails, you can do that. Mamish, really pick from the corner. So and there's a real tzarech of the chashim, but it's a chayyad, so I assume there's one that's not. But we try, that's like last resort. So what do we rely on? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Ramban that what you can do is, you can do things kalei achayyad. And if you do things in an abnormal fashion, so we're very, very make like kalei achayyad, that from the makom chayyad shein b'sakana, that would be okay. The only problem is, there's a big machlokes, what exactly the Ramban meant with that statement. So Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Ramban, his version of the Ramban was, that you're allowed to do Isurim Derabbanon Kirei Achayat. It's when the Ramban said that Kirei Achayat is a mutter, he didn't mean deraisa. He didn't mean you can use your elbow to light a fire. And then you can use your elbow to do some kind of, otherwise this is Derabbanon. You do it twice removed. Kirei Achayat on Derabbanon, the Cholosh Eves HaKana, that would be mutter. That's how the Shulchan Aruch presents the Ramban. Some of the later Acharonim, like Latal and others, and Zalman held this way. If you really look in the Ramban, the original Ramban, in the Torah's Adam, so it seems to be the Ramban said more than the way the Shulchan Aruch quoted it. The Shulchan Aruch probably didn't have the Torah's Adam, he was quoted from someone else, But if you look in the original Ramban, it sounds in the Ramban that it's not even to do the Raisis, Kalei Achayad. And as long as you're doing Kalei Achayad, it's for Chol HaShem, it's going to be okay. So that's a big enough comida. If they have a kid, the kid has some kind of a tzarech, I can't find a guy, and I have to do it. So what do I do? So according to the Shulchan Aruch reading of the Ramban, you have to make sure that first it's only the Rabbanon, and if it's a Rabbanon, then you could the kosher can do the Kirei Achayad. According to the other Poskim, no, as long as it's a Kirei Achayad, it means something. So this shot comes up a lot by electrical device. Very often you have a situation where a kid needs some kind of a nebulizer, these kinds of things where it's not practical to do it. They go, and you can't always do it. Shabbos quiet. But nice, you have to turn certain switches on and off for the course of Shabbos. The kid's sick. The kid is not definitely sick, it's very comfortable and very uncomfortable. So can you just invoke a Kalei Achayad call it a day? So if it's only a Derabbanan, which again is going to depend on what you think is the Derabbanan here, whether you think electricity, the ice Derabbanan, why is that? It's going to be a little tricky. So if you're going down the route of the Shulchan Aruch version of the Ramban, you have to first knock it down to a Derabbanan. So you can read a lot of lumbers to figure out what's their ice, what's their Derabbanan. If you go down the Mokal version, the Rav Shlomo Zalman was not too hot to the That even a derisive, it's going to actually be okay, there'll be a lot more with them. That's what we usually tell people, these kinds of nebulizer kinds of situations, or other kinds of devices. If you have a goy, matzah, that's the best. Someone's at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can't find a goy all the time. So if you don't have a goy available, so I tell people, if you do kli achayad, it's probably mutter anyway. From the Talmud, make a mishas, the chakim, and derisive, kli achayad, as long as for a chodesh.
How long does this definition of the
Chol HaShem B'Sakana? How old is the baby? It's not clear. It's not clear how old the baby is. There are different opinions. Sometimes for when it's no longer. I don't know. I think one of the kids still sits up. The kids are not a kid. It's not the same woman. The kids are not a kid. Every other kid is a pediatrician. So he's still a child. He's still a very weak constitution. The kid, I get right on. He's 12 years old. He's playing on the 7th grade basketball team already. He's probably not such a. It's hot.
And how far do you have to go to find a guy?
That's all fun. Depends on what you think about them. Like it's enough and they're showing. Depends how much you believe that children want them. Another thing that happens, unfortunately, kids tend to fall and tend to get stitches. Stitches becomes a very complicated thing in Chinese. So sometimes stitches, if a wound has to be stitched up, sometimes it's shot through a nefesh because it potentially gets infected, chalila. So you have to be very, very careful. So if somebody assesses the wound and says that this is a dangerous situation, we better get this kid to the hospital, so then you have to get to the hospital on Shabbos. So how you get to get that, that's a whole other story. You can do that. In terms of your driving, you someone else to drive, don't drive the car, that's a very difficult nefesh issue. But Lamaisa, sometimes you have to get the kid to the hospital. So we get the kid to the hospital, we're doing stitches. Now we know in the heart of hearts that in terms of the pikuach nefesh part, 10 stitches will do the trick. But the doctor wants to do 20 stitches. So we take away the doctor, because it's a nice job, it looks pretty much like the kid's features. But it's a Jewish doctor, from doctor, he's stitching up the child, and he's doing stitches above and beyond what's really necessary medically, doing almost more cosmetically, because that is the issue enough. So Shlomo Zalman was making on this, a lot of long this way, he was making a combination of different factors, what Shlomo Zalman was making. All the svaras and letters Shlomo Zalman quotes, one could argue, and people do argue with, but I'm not going to argue the strength of the child's features. So if the doctor's going to rely on Shlomo Zalman, the doctor's not asking for shabbos. He's not asking if you're not. The doctor's going to do what he wants to do, what he's licensed to do. He's going to fix the kid to make him look as best as possible. So I don't think you're going to make him a chod out of that. Even if it's a firm doctor, let him do what he wants to do. As long as he started out, there was a legitimate reason for being in the emergency room. Now he's cleaning up the case. Let him just do what he has to do. That's considered to be lo pirish, like a chosmila, or like the mishnah is also called tzorchei chol. Different svaras that Shlomo Zalman throws around.
If I'm a doctor, do I have to go get another doctor to do stitches?
No. You have to go. That's the next thing that we all about doctors on Shabbos. I don't want to. Okay, good. So getting back to that, I should have mentioned this about the ointment that you wear. So the question of, since we're treating these babies, even when they're not mamish mamish sick, because all chalish yemei sakana, diaper rash is also chalish yemei sakana, very uncomfortable for the baby. So whatever's necessary to be done, if it can be done at a goy mato, if there's no goy around, so then the poskim say that very simply, if you just plop the ointment on and you don't mamish smear it in, so that's not going to be a deraisa of a merech. Even according to machmir of a merech, of making your ointment smooth or something, that probably won't meet the criteria. So that would probably be that's going to be yes. And then again, when the baby has a diaper rash, you just, or to prevent the vibration, you just roll the ointment on instead of mamish rubbing it in explicit.
Is that only
what there's for the Chodesh Yemesakana? So that's the machlokes of Rubia and others about how to read that cool of what the early apostles said. No, not the other one. Maybe you're there, you just throw it onto the top of me. If you don't use the ointment, the kid's going to get that prayer. So it's almost a theoretical question. But bottom line is you throw the ointment on and hopefully miss. Instead of rubbing it. One thing one should be careful in terms of a Shabbos, because it's called Tarakula, that one is not allowed to be machshel katayim to do a veris. You can't ask a child to do something that's awesome. You can't ask a child, say, the kid's 5 years old, you know, forgot to turn the light on, ask the kid to turn the light on. That's an esterais. That's a serious adibus. Asas, come alacha. She's not allowed to do that. Reb Chaim held that was called, that's not an isekvot, it's a prati chol Shabbos. That if a person does it, and it's an act of full Shabbos. It's not just an Issa B'Yam. It's not just a violation. It's a Sas Machat Avilcha Uva Uvitecha. The Gemara has a discussion in Masechus Yevamos, Kufi Dam Masechus Yevamos. Let's say I don't ask the child to do Golacha, and the child's doing it on his own. So if the child's doing it for me, then the Mishnah says they have to stop it. The child's not doing Golacha. The little kid to me is he doesn't know what he's doing. So that's a further shaila. Am I mechuyif to intercede in a group to stop him? So if the kid is a gil chinuch and it's my child and you're saying, yeah, then for sure I have to stop him. If it's somebody else's child, that's the shaila of this kid, if it's somebody else's child. It's my child. I see my 10-year-old turning on the light. even for himself, a father has to stop. But what if it's my 2-year-old telling him, like, the 2-year-old sitting there, telling him he likes playing along, but he doesn't know what he's not doing it for me, that so my mechuyev to stop him or not. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. So the Gemara quotes a story that one time the Bispenish was locked, and the keys were left in the middle of the street, and there was no area in the town, and they couldn't get into the Bispenish, they didn't carry the keys. So the Shalit came through at Pedach, where they had Marayim, who said, no problem, let's bring the little kids to the street, and let them just play around on the floor, and kids like to pick up keys. And the kid will probably pick up the key, and he'll walk with the key, and he'll walk towards the Bispenish, and when we get him close up to the Bispenish, then we'll grab the key, and we'll open up the door. But he asked him to carry the key for us, but that's a short answer. But he was doing it on his own anyway, so then it could be that that's motive. The kids were doing it. But anyway, so it's probably going to be motive. That's the story that the Gemara tells. That's what we pass in Aloha, that if the kid doesn't know, he's not even looking at anyway, he's not doing it specifically for me, so then Nikra did, he can do it, I'm not looking for him to see, either it's my own child. So, when the Gemara tells the story, the Gemara says that the Das told him that she bring the Talia, and Talia says, they should bring the little boys and the little girls to come play in the street, and hopefully one of them will pick up the keys and walk with it to the Spanish. So somebody went to ask the Satmar Rebbe, how can Rebbe Doss tell them to bring the boys and the girls? He said, it's a co-ed playgroup. They asked him to bring the ties and the taisas together to play. It's not right. The Satmar Rebbe responded. He said, no, you don't understand the Gemara. He said, if you're just going to bring the boys alone, so the little boys, they fight, they run around with each other, they play ball with each other. No one's going to notice that there are kids on the floor. So you bring the little girls. Once the little boys see the little girls, they're not going to look at the little girls. They're going to look down. They're going to look down. They're going to look down. Okay,
I'm going to say I'm going to
take it.